are forever. You are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure. The only lasting thing is you.
You are forever. You are forever. You are the one that I run to. You are my treasure. You are my treasure.
Jesus, you are a treasure, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. You may be seated. I want you to imagine with me, if it helps you to imagine, you can close your eyes. Don't worry, I won't come and poke you in the nose or something while you're closing your eyes. But close your eyes with me or sit there. Imagine yourself in this situation. You're a young man. Young country, your country's at war. You volunteer to fight. You're not drafted, but you sign up freely because you believe in the cause. In your very first battle, you're the deciding factor that tips the scales in your country's favor. You're a hero to the nation. Upon returning from the battlefield, they throw you a parade. You end up being promoted to general as a reward for your bravery. You marry the woman of your dreams. You buy a house together. You continue to lead your army to victory after victory. You become a household name across the country. But then the leader of your country gets jealous of your success and beloved reputation and tries to kill you. Uh-oh. You barely escape his assassins by sneaking out a window, and your wife has to stay behind to cover for you. Now you're in the wind, on the run, hiding out while the manhunt scours the city and countryside looking for you. You're doing things you never conceived of having to do. You lie to your pastor to get him to help you, and you end up getting him killed. You're so scared of the lives of your family that you spirit them away to a foreign country. You have to go completely off the grid, and you end up camping in a cave. Your only dubious bit of help comes from a misfit bunch of rogues who start turning up at your cave. Some are dodging debt collectors, others are thieves, or even worse. And all of these, just by virtue of showing up, expect you to feed them and clothe them and lead them. As their numbers grow, this not only becomes a logistical problem, but it also makes it a whole lot harder to hide out. By the time 600 of these misfits have invaded your quiet sanctuary, people are starting to notice and they report you. And now the manhunt is on again. You'll spend years on the run, sleeping rough on dirt and rock, eating whatever you can find and starving when you cannot. You will live in constant fear for your life as a hunted man. Having imagined yourself in that situation, we should ask ourselves, would we be able to praise the Lord if we found ourselves in that situation? Imagine being in those caves. How much of our time and energy could we spend, and how much thankfulness could we generate to write praise songs, play our instruments, sing to the Lord? It's a challenge when you really think about it. This was a period of time in the life of David, if you haven't figured that out.
man in the Bible, and his story is told in Scripture. Yes, the same David who wrote many of the Psalms. You might be surprised to know that it was in the midst of running for his life that David composed some of the most beautiful songs in human history. We call them Psalms, and we read them, but they were actually songs written to music, singing to the Lord. Imagine those nights in the caves that David is surrounded by this cutthroat band of scoundrels who are grumbling over the rough conditions and their stomachs are rumbling with hunger. Perhaps David had his harp with him and he pulls it out and begins to run his calloused hands over the strings and begins to sing. David and the hardened men soon find themselves in the presence of Almighty God. And for a moment, despite their location, the stresses they're facing, their cave becomes a place where God dwells, and all their problems melt away in those moments. Psalms 100 is one chapter that is written by David. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." This morning we're teaching on greatly to be praised, greatly to be praised. What a season of life David was facing. Could have been easy for him to sulk in his hardships. Amen. He could have gotten angry at God. Why would you allow me to defeat the giant Goliath and climb the ladder, so to speak, of society, and now I'm being hunted down like a dog? I love how real David is throughout the Psalms. This is not a lesson that we should not struggle, and if we're struggling, then we're doing life wrong and we should just get over it. No, that's not what this lesson's about. No, I love the juxtaposition of David's Psalms that he wrote. On one hand, he is super real and cries out to God, "Why do the wicked flourish? Why does my enemy not get what they deserve? Where are you, God? Why am I alone?" But on the other hand, he far more often, he wrote Psalms of worship and adoration to God. David shows us how to live. Be real with God. If you have cares, cast them upon the Lord, the Bible says, for he cares for us. But ultimately, God is worthy of our worship, whether we are, no matter the circumstances of our lives, no matter where we are. David says in Psalms 96:9, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." There's a connection between worship and the fear of God. This is not a, "I'm afraid of God and who and what he will do to me, or how he will judge me and squish me like a bug because he holds the world in his hand." So he just like, "Hey, okay, there goes Phil, you know. He did it wrong. He made a mistake. Let me squish you." No, this is not that kind of fear. The fear of God in these scriptures speak to a holy reverence of God. It is an understanding of who God is. And out of that understanding comes worship. Psalms 96, 4 and 5, earlier in that chapter, it says, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." What a statement. All those idols that you see, translated to our day, I preached a message out of town recently, a few weeks ago, about uncovering idols and how in our society, the physical idol, the brazen or the golden calf, that's not familiar to us, but what are the idols in our lives? Anything that takes precedent or is more important than God. All those things in our lives, they are just idols, but the Lord made the heavens. How powerful of a statement. David saw the fear of the Lord as a positive thing. Since God is so powerful, He is a perfect ally to me. You want him on your side. Amen. Psalms 33:18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. God's watching. God's there. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivereth them. So even in the cave, David would worship because he was certain his mighty God had deliverance waiting for him. And so today, as we learn about God and how mighty and powerful and wonderful and gracious and loving and caring and something else, loving and caring he is, we can stand on these promises and worship in the midst of our circumstances. I feel alone, but your word says you won't ever leave me or forsake me. So I will worship you in the midst of my loneliness. I'm sick, but you are my healer, so I will worship the God of healing while I am sick. I am broken, but you came to heal the brokenhearted, so I will worship you in the midst of my brokenness. Spring is upon us, and why do I know? Because when I wake up at 6 to start getting Josiah up for school, if I open the patio door, the window, what do you hear? The birds. The birds are chirping. They're singing. You hear that beautiful melody of spring. The birds are out there. Do you know that is worship to God? Creation worships God. The sun shines forth God's glory. The moon reflects God's glory. And the stars remind us of God's glory and infinite majesty. If you look at the intricacies of the plants, animals, and landscape all around us, they point to God's immeasurable wisdom and creative genius. See, it's so much fun because Josiah is like all about facts, and there's a show that he watches, Wild Kratts, that's about animals and the weirdest, like, strangest animals in the world. And he's like, Dad, did you know that what was he watching this morning? The great horned beetle. You know, and it's just like, tell some random fact. Like, it's like only God would think like, you know what, I'm going to make a great horned beetle and just, you know, because I'm creating humanity and they have imaginations and I just want them to be in awe of me. You know, the great horned beetle, I don't even remember the name and I feel embarrassed that he would know more about it. But that beetle is worshiping God. Amen. It shows the God's wisdom and creative genius. These are all function in voluntarily to worship God. They don't have a choice. There's only one creation on earth who can refuse to worship God, and that is us. Amen. When it came to humanity, God gave us the choice. And the question is, do I worship God or not? Do I worship God or not? How beautiful it is to God to have voluntary worship from a willing heart that is in awe of the majesty and glory of God. Every part of creation does all it can to worship God. The sun shines brightly, the birds sing, the flowers bloom in gorgeous colors. The grass will grow soon and turn green, and Lord help me because I got to mow. But it will, and that's worshiping God. Just the same, from a willing heart, we should give everything. If we can sing, we should sing with everything in us. If we cannot sing, we should make a joyful noise unto God. One of the all-time great memories I'll take to my grave here at Calvary Gospel is Pastor Thomas, who's now pastoring down in Stoughton. And if you ever came to the church when Brother Thomas was in the sanctuary praying, you know, and it's dark in here and you're in the hallway and his prayers turn into this melodious song to the Lord. And whether he sang in tongues or then began to sing and make up his own words, and you just shake your head because, yeah, he would not win like any of these talent shows. And he was never invited to sing on the platform. But Brother Thomas would sing with all his heart. And you would just feel it like it's just unabandoned, like praise and worship to God. If we can play an instrument, we should play unto God. If we have strength in our legs, we should dance and jump before the Lord. I believe all of us in the building have two hands. Anybody have one hand? And then I'll excuse you. Okay. Sorry, I thought you were waving. Like, here's my one hand. Okay, there you go. If you got two hands, you should clap unto God. There we go. We can raise our hands to God if we have the ability to do so. All creation should worship God, but each one of us have to choose to. We have to choose. But worship goes much deeper than singing and shouting and dancing and clapping. We already read it, but let's read it again. Psalm 96:9. It says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." What is greater? Our praise and worship at church on Sunday in the midst of a whole host of folks where we're feeling God's presence? Or does our holiness bring more glory to God? It is possible to sing and shout on Sunday, but then go out and live in such a way that it undermines our supposed high regard for God. If we truly have that awesome reverence and respect for God, that fear of God, it will not only come out in our praise, but it will also manifest itself in the way we live day to day. We know we're truly living in awe of God when we regularly ask ourselves this question: is this pleasing to God and honoring Him? That's the beauty of holiness. God made humanity and said to Genesis that it was very good. Everything else was just good, but humanity was very good. Unfortunately, with that free will, by the time of the flood, God was sorry that He had ever made man because we had abandoned God's purpose for us. What was very good was now so wickedly evil. But that's the redemption story of our time. We can get back on track through Jesus Christ. We can be holy as He is holy. He can change our lives forever. And when we listen to and obey God's word and God's spirit, then holiness is the result. See, especially if you're raised in the church, the word holiness sparks all this kind of thinking. And typically it's rules and regulations. What I have to do, shouldn't do. What I should wear, what I should not wear. But really, it's when we listen to and obey God's word and God's spirit, then holiness is the result. So holiness is simply fulfilling God's original plan for us. It is like the sun shining during the day. It is perfectly natural and perfectly glorious. It is, again, not some artificial construct, some legalistic setup of rules made up by man, but instead holiness is listening to our Creator's instructions and living the way He always intended us to live. And when we do, we worship Him in the beauty of holiness. So I want to encourage you, just a practical, if you're struggling with, well, I got to do this, I encourage you, lay aside that question or that struggle in your mind. Lay it aside and focus on God. Just worship God. Well, I don't understand it. Why this. You know, I face that. I wish the young people weren't here. Because you begin to face those questions. And even as adults, we face those questions. Well, why? And even if you've been here for years, maybe you've never really got it in your spirit. Why we do this or do that or do this? Well, lay that aside and just focus on the Lord and say, God, I have this question. I'm going to just give it to You. And just ignore it. Don't struggle with it. Just let God speak to your heart. Because again, holiness, what did we just say? We said, lots of pages here. Where did page 7 go? I got mixed up. Wow, this is powerful. When we listen to and obey God's word and God's spirit, then holiness is the result. You have an issue with maybe what we consider standards with people all the time connect to holiness, and that's, you know, the rules. Lay those aside. God will tell you. And just say, God, I struggle with this. You tell me what I should do, and I'll do it. If you're really sincere in your heart, He will lead you. Amen. Let's move on. we worship him in the beauty of holiness. We've been talking about worshiping God, but what about Psalms 96:4, where David said, "For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." Is there a difference between worship and praise? Oftentimes, they can be interchangeable words and are closely related. However, there does seem to be a difference between worship and praise. Some say worship is what we do because of who God is, and praise is what we do in response to what God has done. Others would say worship is directed toward God alone for him to hear, while praise is when we tell others about what God has done. We're praising God. If we back up one verse from verse 4, start in chapter 96 of Psalms, David seems to make that connection between praise and other people. He says, "Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised." So there's a connection there. Whether we're aiming our praise to God directly or praising him to others around us, we certainly have a lot to praise God for. Amen. Amen. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." How important is it that the Lord is good? Think about it. God is all powerful. So imagine if God was evil instead of good with all that power. What if God was cruel? Who would survive? What would our lives look like if God was evil, cruel? But instead, over and over, the Bible assures us the Lord is good. He gives good gifts to his children. He sends rain, which is a symbol of blessing, on his children? No, on the just and the unjust. He makes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. Those who are living for God and praising him, and those who says there is no God, he lets the sun shine on them as well. Why? Because he wants all people to know he loves them. His goodness is not predicated on our actions. He is just good. Amen? James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning." Every good thing in life comes from the Lord. If you have been in church any length of time, you may have heard the phrase, "Praise the Lord." You might have said that to someone on your way in today. We use it when we greet each other. But how familiar are we with that phrase? And it just becomes just another phrase we say in our church life. Because we don't go into work, "Praise the Lord." I mean, some of you might. I would be like, you know, again, in the context of this is just a greeting saying, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Ty?" I'd say, "Praise the Lord," and shake your hand. But I'm not really praising the Lord, to be honest, most of the time. I'm just saying, "Praise the Lord." I've been living and raised in the church, living for God for 42 years. Help me, Lord, 43 in a week. 2 weeks, whatever time it is. Yeah, I'm getting old. But it's so easy. "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." It's like, "How you doing?" So when we go to work, we don't go, "Praise the Lord," you know, because, "How you doing, man?" You know, no, we say, "Hey, how you doing?" So praise the Lord is, we're too familiar. I want to challenge you. Take some time to count your blessings today. Think about the times God has been good to you and brought you through. We should praise God because he is good. 2 weeks ago, Fiona was leaving work and got T-boned by a guy who ran a red light, not paying attention. She didn't even see it coming. A cop got there, and she's like, "What just happened?" You know, and she was just in shock. And it has been a hard 2 weeks, I got to tell you. She's in a lot of pain, and it doesn't seem to be getting better, and we're just hoping that over time it does. But there is good in this situation. 2 or 3 feet further forward, and it would be a different story because the car would have struck her right where she was sitting. God is good. God is good. The kids were not with her. Typically, we don't have the car seats in the car, and I'm typically just driving the car. But if there was, they would have been sitting right where the car hit. God is so good. Kids weren't with her. The other driver has insurance. God is so good. The other driver admitted fault on the scene, and there were two witnesses because one was stopped with the red light and saw him come plowing through and so testified that it was a red light. And the other insurance company has accepted liability. Didn't say, well, you got 10% fault because of Bob. No, yeah, we're accepting liability. God is good. It's a struggle, yes, but I have so much to be thankful for. My wife is still with us. I think about that. I took pictures, and I'm like, it could have been a different story if he had gone faster or she was going slower. So I encourage you to count your blessings and then come shake my hand. Look me in the eye and say, praise the Lord. God is good. Praise the Lord. Because praise the Lord, it can mean so much. And what, you know, amen. The Lord is good. Not only can we praise God because he is good, but we can praise him because, what did Psalm 105 say? Because his mercy never expires. It is new every morning. When we look at Scripture, David would sin time and again. He would fall and fall, but he always turned back to God. He always got up. He always repented, and he always found God's mercy was everlasting. We too often stumble and fall. I don't know about you, but I do. There's a nonstop war between our flesh and our spirit, between the carnal and the spiritual. And we have to understand that. And while we all like to pretend we're perfect when we come to church on Sunday, the truth is we are not. We're not. We are not perfect, but we are redeemed. We're not perfect, but we are loved. We are not perfect, but we are forgiven and made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we can praise God to those around us, not by acting super spiritual, by saying, here's where I was, a sinner down and out, and here's what Jesus did for me. Here's how I used to feel, but here's how I feel now. And we can praise God to others. Amen. What an impact we can make on others when we praise God to them for his mercy that is everlasting. Your praise might just connect with someone's spirit who is tired of living life in sin. Someone who is ready to make a change. It's not too late for God's mercy to shine on their lives as well. And so when we praise God, yes, here in the sanctuary, but praising God is a lifestyle. And just telling, man, God is so good. And, you know, it's like, it feels awkward to those who are not in church and those who may not be Christians, and you may feel awkward, but just say it. Just say, you know, man, God, how was your weekend? You know, it was great. God's so good to me, and, you know, this, and, you know, whatever it is, however small, and just throw in God, and it might connect with their spirit, and what an opportunity then for them to ask and say, well, how are you facing this situation with such grace and such, why are you calm? Why are you, you know, why are you like that? Like, I'd be freaking out. Well, God is so good. I've got so much to be thankful for, you know. And, you know, my situation with Fiona in the car, I could just then, like, you know, she could have been killed. The kids weren't in the car. They have insurance, you know, and just simple things. And people may write that off, but, like, that testimony, that praise might spark something in someone and be like, you know what? I need God. I need his mercy in my life. Amen. We also praise God because his truth endures to all generations, Psalms 105 said. We serve the same God today that David served some 3,000 years ago, and the same God Noah served thousands of years before that. Same God. A continuity of truth comes down to us through the ages and through the pages of the Word of God that is unshaken by the ravages of time. Critics come and they go, but the Bible remains. Governments and empires have risen and tried to eradicate the Bible, but they have fallen. I mean, we sometimes say, oh, our society is so wicked and so crazy. Society has been in this place before with the amount of wickedness and the direction and the agendas of society and morality. Society has been here before, and God is still the same. God. Amen. The Bible still stands. Philosophers have tried to suggest alternatives to this book's pure morality, but all human philosophies have failed to create the heart change that the Bible creates in humanity. The Bible stands. God never changes. We're in a postmodern era that everything is being questioned. The foundations of society are being eroded, and reality is being questioned even. And humanity's rush to ensure that everyone is non-judgmental and tolerant. Many people have lost touch with rationality and reason itself. Many have dismissed the Bible as being too absolute, too cut and dry in its statements of fact to fit with our supposedly progressive modern mindset. But we can be thankful that while heaven and earth may pass away, the Word of God will never pass away. The Word of God will never pass away. Is it challenging? Yeah, it's a challenging time. And we've got to pray and ask God to help us maneuver through that. And the beauty of holiness, He will. If we ask Him to guide us and to have the right answer to someone says, well, what about this lifestyle? Like, what, do you hate them? Are they going, you know? And God will give you wisdom and grace to walk through that in a loving and kind way that they can't question anything. They may disagree with you, but they can't question that you're an evil person and you're mean and you're just rigid. And so, no, the Bible is true and pure and loving, and God is kind, and He never changes. Amen. As Christians, we do not have to watch the foundation of our lives be swept away by a wishy-washy worldview that changes from one day to the next. We're built on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ and His Word. And so we praise God because His truth will always endure. Amen. Amen. The day came when David left the cave and took up the crown as king of Israel. And when that day came, David went out to recover the Ark of the Covenant and bring it to Jerusalem. And this was the symbol of God's presence. And oftentimes, in those times, the kings and the rulers of lands would capture idols or capture statues or build them. And really, twofold, maybe to worship them, but really oftentimes it was to inflate who they were. And see, look at what I did. I have this beautiful statue, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, with the statue that everyone had to bow down to and sing, and you know, or when they sang, everyone had to bow down. And really, it wasn't necessarily about that statue. It was about Nebuchadnezzar. And it's about me. And so they inflated. So you think about this. The Ark of Covenant had been taken away by the enemy. And now David becomes king, and he says, I want the Ark of the Covenant back. It's a representation of the presence of God. And so you could imagine that he might have, in his flesh, had said, you know what, let's do a parade. Let's bring it back. And I'll, like, lead the charge. And I'll, you know, wear my best robes. And everyone will see how great of a king I am, how great of a person I am. I brought the Ark of the Covenant back. I was the one. But yet, that's not what he did. He could have made that moment about his own personal glory. But instead, David laid aside the royal garments and put a simple linen ephod on and danced before the Lord with all his might. The singers were singing, the priests were offering sacrifices, the instruments were blaring, and David was dancing in the street dressed like a common slave, just like giving everything. He didn't care who was watching. He didn't care what people would think. We read that his wife even chastised him for his unabandoned worship. But as far as David was concerned, God was worthy of worship and praise. He remembered those times in the cave and the hunger and the filth that they slept in at night, and to see God restore him and bring him to the level of king as was promised, that as he had been anointed. God had delivered David out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. God had anointed David to be king, and now David danced and worshiped in God's presence with everything he had. What a lesson for us. What would our worship look like today if we forgot about everything and everyone else around us and simply focused on God, who he is, and what he's done for us? I remember one time, and I think it's only been one time, and I kind of feel a little ashamed to say that, but it was in the other before we built the sanctuary. So in college, just moved here. So we were in this in 97, right? So it must have been very soon after I moved here, because I moved here in 97. It was being constructed, but I was over there. And I'll never forget one, I don't even know what service it was, but I came up to the front and just began to worship. And it was like, I'd always heard about it, about folks doing this, and I never ever experienced it till that day. And it was like, I came to, if I guess I could put it that way. I don't know how long later. And they were now preaching, but I had just been lost in the Spirit. We use that word, lost in the Spirit. But it was literally like I don't remember anything except just worshiping and praising God with everything. I didn't care about, well, the preacher got up. So, okay, well, the preacher's getting up. So let's go back to our seats. Well, challenge yourself. Are you unashamedly, unabandonedly praising God with everything? And that might not be jumping and shouting, because some are not physically able, but just with your heart, just giving everything, where you get home like, I don't even know what was preached, because God's just moving my heart, and I had to praise Him. I had to worship Him. I had to give everything in our lives. In our 11 o'clock service here in, I don't know, what time is it? I can't see that far. 20 minutes. You got to pray for my eyes, folks. Seriously, in Jesus' name, touch my eyes, Lord, heal me. We're going to have time to worship. And I know the worship said there's going to be a new song, I believe that song. Don't get into the new song mode where it's just like, okay, we don't know this song. You know, just sing or just worship. Lift your hands, get into it. Learn it as you go. I know, because I get there too. I'm sitting there like, that sounds kind of weird. That's a new song. I never heard this one. I wonder who sings this song. I wonder where they got this song. This is a little too fast for me, or this is a little too slow. Man, they're really screechy on that point, so praise team, get with it, wherever you are. There's going to be a new song, but there's going to be a couple familiar songs that I know what's coming up. I made the schedule. Worship today. I challenge you. Get in the next 20 minutes, start to count your blessings. What, maybe it's just one thing that you can think of. And for everyone here, I'll give you a hint. If you can't think of anything else, if you know, God has just been horrible in your life, you are alive and in church today. Okay? So if nothing else, use that one. But pick something else. Come on. I got two hands. I mean, just start thinking about it. Like, what would I do without a pinky finger? I found out, the day before Fiona, I got 4 minutes, so I'm going to use it. The day before Fiona got T-boned and went to urgent care, I was in urgent care. Why? Because I was really sick. I got up and I'm like, man, I should eat something. And there was the end of the loaf of bread that was super thick. I'm like, I just want some toast and make it simple. And I'm like, this is too thick. You know, I was just like, you know that. You got to have that perfect, like, thickness. And so I pull out the huge serrated knife. Yeah, yeah. And I hold it in my hand like I've done thousands of times, that you're not supposed to hold it that way. And it slipped right when I was. But I serrated my thumb open. I'm like, Fiona, I need some Band-Aids. But I mean, it was wide open. And so she came and put pressure on it. I'm a man, and I was sick. And so I went back to bed. She gauzed it all up, and I went back to bed. She was so mad at me. I woke up 2 hours later, and she's like, are you going to go in? I'm like, let me call on-the-clock nurse just to see if it's really needing to. The nurse was hilarious. She's like, well, how big is it? Because I was like, I just want to know if I should come get stitches, and how big is it? So I told her. I'm like, yeah, my wife thinks I'm coming in, but I just wanted to see. She's like, you're trying to use me as your excuse not to come in? She's like, get in here. I'm like, all right. And I don't have a clue where I was going with that story, but He is good. It's been a horrible 2 weeks, if I'm honest. But He is good. Well, what are the blessings? I could have cut my finger off. It nicked the nail, but they put 3 stitches in, and I kind of can tell. It's getting better. I could cut my thumb off. Josiah loves the stitches. I mean, that How cool is that? Dad's got stitches. He told his teacher, and we had parent teachers. Oh, I heard you cut your finger. I'm like, where'd you hear that? Josiah. I'm like, yeah, of course. So God is good. He provided excitement for a house, you know, and for Josiah. And like, wow, stitches. So think of something blessed. Turn something. If you're in the midst of a horrible thing, think about something amazing. My kids are, you know, yeah, I may be sick, but my kids are well. They're coming to church. They love God. You know, yeah, I'm feeling lonely, but you know what? I'm in a house of a whole host of folks, and God never leaves me and forsakes me. And you know what? Maybe I need to be challenged to get outside of myself and get connected to a connection group. But you know what? I'm not alone. God is there. He's filled me with the Spirit. I'm His child. Think of something in your life that you can count as a blessing. And I'm going to challenge you. And now 17 minutes, we're going to have worship. Worship God. It's your choice. It's your choice. God will not force you to worship Him. But there's so much. He is good. His mercy endures forever. It's everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Greatly to be praised. He is. Amen. Amen. Let's just take a minute here and just worship Him. Thank Him, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful for Your word. We're thankful for the challenging word that God, Lord, in all situations, all circumstances, whether it's we're on the mountaintop, God, or we're in the valley, God. Lord Jesus, we're up or down, Lord Jesus, Lord God. Surrounded by folks or all alone, Lord God. Lord, You are good. You're so good. You're so great to be praised because You're powerful. You're mighty. You're holy. God, Lord Jesus, You're a deliverer, God. I can call on You, Lord Jesus, and You're right there. You're as close as a mention of Your name, God. When I'm scared, Lord God, we can claim Your word, Lord, that You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a love and a power and a sound mind, and we can get through our situations, Lord God. You're so good. Your mercy is everlasting, God. Your truth endures to all generations. Let's give Him a hand clap of praise. Use those hands of Yours. Lift your hands right now. We thank You, Jesus. We praise Your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Parents, we are still not keeping kids. You do still have to pick them up. So make your way over to check out and get your children. We'll be going into the Word of the Lord and worship here in about 15 minutes. Greet someone. Walk across the sanctuary and greet someone. Someone you haven't talked to in a while. Amen. Jesus' name.